is the Most Blessed Podcast, recorded live at Most Blessed Sacrament in Arlington, Texas. Hello, Monsignor.
Hello, Lisa.
How are you this morning?
I'm super duper.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yes, it's a beautiful day, and I feel beautiful and good.
It is. It's so beautiful outside, and it's cool.
Yes,
so that puts everybody in a good mood. I do have one little personal, update, I guess, for the people who listened to the Father Rock podcast and heard me talk about learning to play the guitar and how he said you can play badly in 4 weeks. Well, it's just about coming up on 4 weeks, and I played my first song last night badly. A very sweet parishioner brought some music for me. It was actually just the words to the song with the chords written on top of it, which was so much easier than trying to read music. And bless her heart. Thank you, Betty. I won't say your whole name just in case you don't want that out there, but she brought me some music and I played Silent Night.
All right.
And
Christmas time, you'll be ready to go.
By Christmas time, I should be able to do it a little better. So there's an update on that.
Good.
So today we're going to talk about reconciliation.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just have a few thoughts and then I'll just let you take it away. One is the beautiful prayer of St. Francis that says, in pardoning, we are pardoned. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to think about in reconciliation, because if we just go confess our sins, but we don't forgive the people who might injure us, what good are we really doing?
Mm-hmm.
So I loved that. And then, reconciliation, I should have started with, is one of the two sacraments of healing. And there's reconciliation, and then there's the anointing of the sick. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I'm sure most people know I am a former Protestant. I converted quite a few years ago. But I think as a former Protestant, I can say with a certain bit of certainty that it's probably one of the harder sacraments for us to take in, because we're used to just going straight to Jesus. But also, as a former Protestant, I can say without a doubt that when you have a good reconciliation, there is no freer feeling, and there's nothing more cleansing, I guess, is a good way to put it, than having a good reconciliation. And so I think that is important to note for anyone who is a convert or thinking of converting, and maybe that's one of the things that's holding you back. Listen, it's an awesome feeling when you go in there and you get rid of it all, because I don't even know how to explain it. It's a surreal, supernatural, spiritual thing. So maybe you have better words than that. The other thing is sometimes, as a convert, I think, well, I don't think you really want to listen to my laundry list of sins. You know, okay, I said a bad word or more than one, or I get angry or whatever. And so sometimes I think people may have a kind of a block almost as to what makes a good reconciliation, because most of us are not murderers. Hopefully most of us are not, you know, committing adultery or anything like that. And so we think, well, what do we have to confess? Well, anything that takes you away from Jesus. Is that correct? Is that a good way to put it?
I would say anything that injures our relationship with Jesus, because some sins do not take us away from Jesus, but some do, because we call them mortal sins, deadly sins. I think a better way of expressing it, anything that injures our relationship with Jesus, which all sin injures our relationship with Jesus. I think one of the key things about going to confession And the problem we have, one of the problems I guess we have, is that we focus on the action, that is the sin, that we feel we have committed, but we don't take time to get at the root of what has caused me to do it. Mm-hmm. We come in so often with a laundry list because I did this, I did that. Okay, did you stop and think what caused me to get angry? Mm. What moved me to use bad language? What was happening inside me that moved me in that direction? We have to get at the root of our sin. That is truly a good confession. When you take time, what has moved me to do this? Especially if it's something that you've done quite a bit and it's become a habit. Why has this happened? What has been happening in my life that has moved me in this direction? It's important to do that. So I think when we come to confession, we really should try to do two things. We confess the sin, but it's good to let Father know, Father, I think this is what caused me to do this. You know, husband gets angry with his wife and said things that he regretted. Well, what was happening? What moved you to do this? And so that is really looking at the entirety of sin when we come in and knowing the action and knowing the root. What has moved me? And sometimes we don't really understand what moved me like this. You know, I just can't quite figure it out. But we're trying to take time to find that out. That's part of the examination of conscience. The examination of conscience, we go through the commandments, we try to determine what is the sins or sins that I feel I'm guilty of. But there again, it's also to help you to get a hold of what has moved me to do this.
Now, are you, I guess, allowed is the word I want to use, to help us get to the root of that? Or is that something we have to do on our own? Are you allowed to say, well, have you thought that maybe this is what's going on?
Oh, you mean the priest? Yes, definitely. Oh, no, the priest can help you in the confessional.
Okay.
No, especially if he senses, if he's aware that you've done this particular sin many times. And you're confessing that. And I said, okay, let's think about this for a moment. This has really been a lot, you know, that you've confessed here, this particular sin. It's been a number of times. So let's look at it for a moment and see, you know, okay, what do you think maybe has pushed me in that direction? And maybe at the moment you're not really sure, but you can have a sense of, well, I, you know, things aren't going well at my job and I feel stressed, and it can be any of that kind of stuff that has triggered it. So yeah, the priest can help you with that.
Sure. So sometimes you do need to put out that laundry list because it might help you work through what is.
Oh, yeah. No, you're going to have your what we call the laundry list, I'm sure. You know, when you come in, I lied, I cheated, blah, blah, blah. Okay. That's.
But you don't want specifics like I lied because, or I lied to my children about Santa Claus. That's not really a sin, but. I'm just going to use that as an example.
You feel like, well, for example, if a parent were to lie to their child.
About something big,
then I think that's how it should be confessed.
Okay.
That's a little bit bigger than just lying.
Right.
You know, okay, let's look at this. What do you think maybe have caused that to happen?
Okay. All right. Well, I hope that's clearing up some stuff for some people about reconciliation, and hopefully maybe and maybe we should reiterate that you don't sit around and think about people's sins all day long. What's it called when you forget what they tell you? Like when you see them in church, you're not going, oh, I remember your sins. You don't do that.
No, and the priest, you know, when we are ordained, we make a promise to abide by the seal of the confessional, meaning we never reveal anything that has been said, and we don't leave the confessional dwelling on, well, boy, she really messed up. Or no, that, you know, we're there to say, thank God you came. You know, this is a wonderful moment of God's mercy. You know, we're there to, in the spiritual sense, to embrace you in the grace of God. So we're not there to, no, none of that happens.
That's beautiful. We're glad you came. Oh, I like that.
I mean, really, the priest is.
Okay. So is there anything else we need to know about reconciliation? Those kids, I bet your favorites are the kids that come for first reconciliation. But I bet it's also like pulling teeth. Not that I want you to, you know, reveal anything, but.
Well, children, especially they're coming for the first time, usually are a little bit nervous. And, you know, I try not to, if they can just say one thing that they feel like, you know, it kind of helps them just to get a sense of what it's like to be forgiven in the confessional. Mm. So maybe the next time they come, they're a little more comfortable. And as they grow older, as they deal with bigger issues in life, they will feel like, I can go to confession. That's a wonderful moment there to be with God, and Father will be there to help me. And I think, you know, we need to understand that there is such a thing as mortal sin and venial sin. Mortal sin is defined as deadly sin. It's a serious act that one knows is a serious act and has given full consent to it. For example, adultery. Mm-hmm. That by its nature is a mortal sin. And, you know, if one gives full consent to it, that's the thing we look at. You know, did you give full consent? Were you fully aware of what this sin is? You gave full consent to it. You know, these are what define, you know, what a serious sin would be. Most of us, I think, it's the little things that get in the way. It's the little sins, the venial sins. Impatience, anger, use of bad language, you know. I mean, things can happen that just kind of trigger our human nature to mm-hmm. in a non-serious way to respond to something. Now, mortal sin prevents you from receiving Holy Communion until you go to confession.
And besides murder and adultery, what else could be considered a mortal sin?
Abortion. You know, it's anything by its nature is a serious act. I mean, most people can kind of determine that.
Okay.
If I go and steal $1,000 from someone, that's a pretty big action.
Yeah.
You know, our mind is going to say, wow, that was a very, that's a big sin.
Right.
Let's face it.
Right.
And so if one is fully aware that they have committed a mortal sin, they have to go to confession before they receive communion. Now, venial sin does not prevent us from receiving communion. In fact, venial sins, you know, at the very beginning of the Mass, we have the penitential rite. Mm-hmm. You know, that is there for taking away sin as well. But it's the little thing.
The little
ones. Not the biggies.
Right.
Those have to be addressed. But even though maybe we've confessed them, so to speak, at the beginning of Mass, we still should bring them up in the confessional.
Okay.
Because they can get out of hand. They can start taking over.
It also makes us accountable.
It makes us accountable. And we have to understand that going to confession, that the Catholic Church sees sin in two ways. First of all, we not only offend God, but we have offended the church. That is, the people of God have been offended by our action. Maybe not deliberately, or maybe we haven't gone out and really offended someone, but grace affects the whole church. Sin mm-hmm. affects the whole church, which mm-hmm. is the body of Christ. That's why we speak of sin as, and it's a social act. There's a social dimension to sin. Because it's rooted in relationships, our relationship mm-hmm. with God and our relationship with the church. And this is one of the key reasons it's so important to go to confession. because you have offended not only God, but you have offended the church.
Right.
The priest represents Christ and the church. Obviously, we don't have you stand up before the whole community on Sunday Mass right. and say, these are my sins.
Right.
That is done privately through the sacrament of reconciliation, with the priest being the representative.
Right.
And where do we get this sacrament? It comes to us the night of the resurrection of Christ, the day he rose from the dead. He appeared to his apostles in the upper room for the first time as the risen Lord. The first thing he said was, peace be with you. And he said it again, peace be with you, which is the gift of Easter. But then he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. At that moment, his priests received the power to forgive sin.
Oh, wow.
And he gave us the sacrament at that moment. That was now to be part of the very life and mission of the church, to forgive sins always in the name of Jesus. Now, when he uses the word retain, whose sins you retain, they are retained. We're talking about situations, and this would hardly ever happen, but someone who is not truly sorry for their sin. Maybe someone made you go to confession.
Okay.
And you didn't really want to go. And you came in there and said, I didn't really want to be here. This is what I did, and I'm not sorry for it at all.
Has that ever happened to you?
Well, I'd rather not say, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
But it hardly would ever. I mean, the people of God, they come with contrite hearts. And but if the priest determines that the person is not sorry and has no intention of trying to do better, then he cannot give absolution to them.
Oh, wow.
And he has to inform them of that. You know, it's not easy to do. It's
going
to be very painful.
Right.
You know, until there's a change of heart. But like I said, my gosh, you know, people they come to confession with a true sense of a repentant heart and a desire to do better. You know?
Now, would you say a good indicator of the growth of a church, and I don't mean people-wise, number-wise, mm-hmm. but people-wise, soul-wise, let's say, would be the length of the line at the confessional on Saturdays. You know what? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, when there is true revival in a church, which I feel like our church is mm-hmm. Kind of in the midst of, honestly, mm-hmm. that a good indicator of that is the length of the line. At the confessional.
Yeah, I think when the Holy Spirit is truly moving in a parish and God's grace is really taking over a community of faith, one of the signs of that is that the number of people going to confession probably increases. And again, we go not because we're bad people.
Right.
We're good people who want to do better. And mm-hmm. that's important. That's really necessary to see the sacrament from that perspective. You're not going in there because you're some horrible person
right.
that's really messed up. And although, unfortunately, sometimes people are filled with such guilt, that's how they see themselves. But God doesn't. God sees you as a beautiful creation, and now he's going to even make you more beautiful through the sacrament and the absolution and Christ forgiving you. But truly a sign, yes, the more people coming. Some Saturdays here, we have quite a number of folks that go, and others, not quite as many. But mm-hmm. overall, mm-hmm. confessions here keep the priest pretty busy for the full hour, which is good. You know, you get concerned about if he were to sit there and only one or two people came
right.
for a whole hour, and you're saying, yeah. And that happened quite a bit. Right. You begin to think there's something not right here in the parish.
Well, I think in July, when you're on vacation, there's really long lines.
Probably. I don't want to go to Monsignor, but I'll go to this visiting priest.
I went while you were gone.
Well, you know, and that's the wonderful thing about the Sacrament of Reconciliation. You can go to any priest anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a priest who've heard confessions in the airport. You know, somebody getting ready to get on a plane, and they notice the priest because he had his collar on. And they'll walk over and they'll say, Father, you know, I know this is an awkward moment, but is there any way you might be able to hear my confession before I get on this plane? And, you know, certainly the priest, if he can do it at that moment, will do it. I mean, he'll take them off away people and have a little private space.
And just so people are aware, priests go to confession as well.
We do. We go to confession. You know, I try to go once a month, but it's been difficult in the recent months with COVID and all these things going on that is I don't get to go as often as I would like. And but I treasure the sacrament and I try to look for opportunities to go. Somebody asked me once, you know, Father, you're a priest. Can you absolve yourself? And I said, no, that's not how it works. I'm first of all a man. I'm a human being. And I wrestle with sin as anyone else does. And sometimes I commit sin like anyone else, and I have to go to confession and be absolved and experience that wonderful moment. You know, we priests who hear confession, you know, we treasure the moment also when we're on the other side of the screen, so to speak. You know, when we say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, you know, that our one priest to another, there's a very powerful relationship between priests out of our ordination, and especially in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Because what happens when a priest goes to confession to another priest, we focus on our vocation as a priest. You know, how can I be a better priest? Mm-hmm. What do I need to change in my life to be the priest Christ has called me to be? So, you know, our perspective is going to be somewhat different than the laity. So.
Well, all right. Well, I would venture, I guess, that this one will garner some emails. I bet people will have questions about this one.
That's good.
Feel free to send in your emails to... Oh, goodness, I've already forgotten our email. Most Blessed Podcast, MBS Podcast at MBS.church. I don't really know. I can't remember now. I have to look it up.
Really?
That's the worst, isn't it? I need to have that written down.
Yes, you do have to.
You can send it to me, Lisa Wang, L. Wangler at MBS.church.
Yeah, that's true. But no, it's reconciliation. It's one of the great gifts that God has given to the church. And it's really awesome to think that Christ trusts his church enough and the men who have been ordained as his priests to deal with sin and to forgive sin in his name. That he's saying, I'm placing this in your hands, mm-hmm. Father Pemberton. You're my priest, and I want you to be my instrument of forgiving sins of people who come to you. So... it's really an awesome, awesome gift.
Do you think that those apostles that he bestowed that gift on that evening, do you think that they did confession? Did they went to reconciliation with Jesus to show them, how he taught? Maybe that's how he taught them how to do it or whatever?
Well, it really wasn't at that point a sacrament. I mean, I shouldn't say that because he instituted it at that moment. But it took the church. He allowed the church in her own time, in her own way, to develop the sacrament into what it is.
I can't imagine going to reconciliation with Jesus himself because I'm pretty sure he'd be going, is that all? Are you sure? Come on, I think you got a little more.
But you are going to Jesus himself.
Well, yes, that's true.
You don't see him, but the priest represents that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Monsignor. This was great.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please send them to mbspodcast@mbs.church. Have a blessed day.